Is Obama the Antichrist? Is he a forerunner of the Antichrist? And I'm asking these questions, I mean, sincerely. There are a lot of people in the nation right now that believe that he either is or that he is a spirit of the Antichrist that is actually paving the way for the coming of the man of sin. Now I've really put you on the spot. Where are we at, Bill?
Well, he doesn't really meet the biblical descriptions. Now, it's interesting that Newsweek did in November of last year, an article saying, is Obama the Antichrist? You know, the point is this. No, I don't believe Obama's the Antichrist, and I'll give you a litany of reasons why not. First of all, he isn't from the source of origin of where Daniel 9:26 says the Antichrist will come. He comes out of the people who destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, the city was Jerusalem. The sanctuary was the second Jewish temple. That was in 70 AD, and that was the Romans. So he has to come out of the Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire. So, no, I don't believe he meets that description. But the point of the matter is that the humanity is concerned. There's this fever pitch of apocalyptic tenor in humanity. They wouldn't be asking 20 years ago, you know, if Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist.
Right.
You know, 9/11's happened. I mean, as we turn into this century, Tom, you know, you have to look at the events that have happened. We've had the September 11th scenario that happened. We've got a whole litany of things that have just come down and almost evidence the fact that the world hourglass has made its final turn. And, you know, so this is what got humanity concerned. We've had that tsunami that hit. Let me just think about a couple of these things. We had the tsunami in December of 04. It was triggered by a 9.1 earthquake. And, of course, Christ said in the end times, in Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8, there'll be earthquakes. And then Luke, he said great earthquakes. That was in the Indian Ocean. This is just this decade. The
right.
Turn of the century killed 225,000 people. You had Hurricane Katrina, the most costly American disaster in its history. The financial crisis, this has all been happening in just this decade. The major banking systems, you stockpile upon that, our war in Afghanistan since October of 2001, our Operation Iraqi Freedom, which Obama can't seem to get out of since March of 2003, the subprime lending crisis of 2005, the 34-day conflict in July of 2006 with Israel and Hezbollah we talked about earlier, the Russian invasion of Georgia in 2008.
Bill, how does the Antichrist emerge on the world scene amidst the backdrop of all these world-changing events you're talking about, including what is developing right now in the Middle East?
Well, specifically relative to the Middle East, that's an important question, because in light of these Israeli war prophecies that are about to happen, I mean, right now the international community is extremely concerned about Iran and Israel and this whole situation, like I talked about. Could gas go up to $300 a barrel? Could we're trying as a world to get back into some kind of financial stability. Bernanke recently said, hey, it may feel like the recession a little bit longer, but, you know, it looks like the recession is kind of over at this point. And, of course, you know, more people are more concerned about Acorn than they are paying attention to what Bernanke's saying anymore because we're living in this kind of unique environment. But when it comes to, you know, the world is worried about what could happen in the Middle East now. Well, what I'm suggesting what's going to happen in the Middle East is just amazing. What's going to start happening over there in the wars that the Bible foretells. And the world is going to be clamoring for some sort of peace and stability and safety. And that's one of the things that the Antichrist offers to the world is peace and safety. And he actually confirms a covenant with Israel in Daniel 9:27. It's a 7-year false covenant to try to bring stability into the Middle East with an Israel that is, you know, if you understand how these wars play out, Psalm 83 plays out in Israel. The Israeli Defense Forces just has a massive victory. Ezekiel 38 and 39 occurs, and this is huge. Imagine this, Tom. This would be like if Canada, America, and Mexico said, let's get together and go against New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That's the size and scope of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 Gog of Magog invasion coming against Israel. Now, I don't believe it'll be the tiny Israel of today when they come after them. I think it'll be a much larger Israel after the aftermath of Psalm 83. But they're going to come against them, and even though the Israeli Defense Forces will be strong, and they'll have taken over some of the arsenals of the Arabs that are defeated in Psalm 83, they will be no match for Russia's entourage. But they don't have to be, because Ezekiel 38 and 39 talk about God divinely defeating that, not the Israeli Defense Forces. In fact, the Israeli Defense Forces play hardly any role in that.
The 7-year peace covenant with Israel. For the last 61 years, most pulpits And I know because I was a pastor for 25 of those years, we've been teaching that the Mideast Peace Pact finally will bring peace between the Jews and the Arabs, that somehow it's going to protect the Jews from continued Arab attempts to destroy the Jewish state. In light of everything you've been saying this evening and of the fact that the Israeli wars may occur prior, it would seem to that what you're saying alters almost the purpose for this false Mideast peace pact, wouldn't it? And I'm, as I understand it, there's just a significant amount of discussion and controversy going on tonight in the chat room. Look, let's give me an answer to the 7-year peace covenant with Israel and where this is going to take us.
Okay, well, first of all, you're absolutely right. The general teachings on that have been over the past 6 decades that this will be a peace covenant finally between Israel and the Arabs, and more importantly, Israel and the Palestinians, their immediate foes. They believe that this will be a 7-year covenant confirmed by the Antichrist with Israel. It'll finally protect Israel from the Arabs. But in light of the fact that Psalm 83 is about to occur, in my estimation, and Israel is going to win that, there will be no political brokering for peace in the Middle East. This will be achieved militarily. So this is not necessarily, in my estimation, what the content of that false covenant is going to say. Now, for those people who are not real familiar with it, they need to maybe pick it up in Daniel 9, verses 26 and 27, and that's where they can find about this false covenant, and they can also pick it up in Isaiah 28, verses 15 and 18, where Isaiah actually calls it a covenant with death and agreement with Sheol, which would be, you know, hell or Hades. That's mm-hmm. the Hebrew word. So what we're talking about is a very important covenant in the end that's going to have something to do with stabilizing the Middle East region, which I believe will be entirely different than we see it today. I believe that the Atlas Company should be rezoning and being prepared to make the new maps because they're going to be changing fairly soon, and that the world is going to be saying, we need to bring peace to what's going on over here. Look what just happened. Israel took out the Arabs. Russia and Iran came down, and some divine Old Testament duty was dealt against them by the God of the Jews. And this Antichrist is going to come on the scene amidst that backdrop of an Israel that is growing. And the way Israel appears to be responding to all this victory and stuff that's going on is to be claiming promises given to Abraham, taking over more land, saying, hey, this is our land. They're going to want to rebuild their temple. They've already got their priests, the temple instruments are already implemented. They're already searching out the Levites through the genealogies as best they can find them. Of course, most of those were destroyed in 70 AD with the destruction of the Jewish temple. I mean, they are going to be wanting to re-implement the Mosaic law. And the Antichrist is going to sign this false covenant with them. And then in the middle of it, it says he goes into the temple, which will exist at that time, and he does what's called the abomination of desolation, spoken of Daniel 9. It's also in Matthew 24. In other words, he brings an end to the sacrificial system the Jews are doing at that point. And at that point, he starts declaring himself to be above all God. He blasphemes God, and so on and so forth. And he's got all kinds of different characteristics that I don't know if we can talk about those tonight, but this is the point. Amidst that backdrop, Israel's response will be to re-implement the Mosaic laws, create the animal sacrificial system again, and try to say, we want this land, we want these rights, we want to have our freedom of worship the way we used to. Meanwhile, amidst that backdrop, you have a harlot system of Revelation 17, which, if people want to know what that is, I highly recommend Jim Tetlow's book called The Queen of All. That kind of religious system that comes up that's drunk with the blood of the saints, and the Antichrist rides on that for a while, and then he ultimately, with 10 kings, destroys that. So, I mean, you know, we're getting to a point where this all gets too deep and too much to cover, but that's about to happen.
Yeah, but you just a second ago, you mentioned all these characteristics of the Antichrist. I want to ask your take on the Assyrian Antichrist. WorldNet Daily, as you know, we do a lot with them. Their number one selling book over there for the last month was on the subject of an Assyrian Antichrist, but as you know, I know you're very aware, there's a lot of scholars that dispute this whole idea of an Assyrian Antichrist. I want to get your take on that.
Well, it's a paradigm shift in Antichrist thinking, to start with that. Most people do not agree with this Islamic Antichrist model. It's being propagated primarily by Joel Richardson, Wally Chubot, and a few others, and I respect those individuals. They're definitely very good at what they do. However, I don't believe that the Assyrian Antichrist model, which means an Islamic Antichrist, is going to exist. And I'll tell you why. Psalm 83 is going to be, those nations are going to be destroyed are predominantly Muslim. The Russian-Iranian invasion that comes in Ezekiel 38 and 39, a majority of them are going to be Muslim. So by the time those two wars come down, Islam is going to be paling in comparison. In Zephaniah 2, verses 10 and 11, it talks about the gods of the earth being famished by the God of the Jews. And I believe that saying that in contextually when you're talking about responses of the Psalm 83 war in Zephaniah 2. I believe also that in the very beginning, after Psalm 83, Ezekiel 38, and the first part, the first few years of the tribulation period, which is a seven-year period of time, which commences with the confirmation of this false covenant with Israel, that the Antichrist will be, that Islam will pretty much be done. So I believe that all this hype about the Assyrian Antichrist being Islamic, the Islamic Mahdi, who they say is the biblical Antichrist, I don't, unfortunately, for those who believe that's true, I don't buy it. I don't see it as being biblical.
Well, you and Waleed Shobat, I mean, you had some back and forth on this not too long ago. Probably neither one of you convinced the other. Some of our mutual friends also, like Philip Goodman, people like that. There are some of them that believe in this Assyrian Antichrist, others that don't. Where does Bill Salas believe that the Antichrist comes from?
Okay, and first of all, let me say this. Not everyone who believes in the Assyrian Antichrist believes that he's is a Muslim. So, I mean, there's that little camp, too. So.
Well, maybe even add a caveat about the Mahdi and the Assyrian Antichrist, but where do you believe that he comes from?
I believe he comes, we're told where he comes out of Daniel 9:26. He comes out of the people who destroyed the city and the sanctuary, and that was the Roman Empire. And at the time the Roman Empire reigned, they were reigning out of Rome, and that was in the Western model of Europe. Now, they did a split, and they had an Eastern and a Western Roman Empire split, and so on and so forth, but I don't see it as being that way, and nor is it commonly taught. I believe that the Antichrist comes out of the Western aspect of the European area, perhaps the European Union or something like that. But I just do not see him as being a Muslim. I think Islam is going to start to falter dramatically in the aftermath of these wars. I don't see him as being Islamic. I'm not even sure there's going to be a Mahdi who comes. It doesn't matter what Islam says. I mean, you know, Islam's not prophetic. You know, God says in Isaiah 46 that he alone knows the beginning from the end, and he dares other religions to even declare what he can declare. And he does that to authenticate his own sovereignty. So whatever Muhammad came up with and Islam's coming up with and Ahmadinejad believes, that's not biblical. I mean, who knows if there's even going to be a Mahdi? But I do not believe that the Antichrist is Islamic. I believe he's going to come out of the Roman Empire, just like Daniel 9:26 and 27 talk about. And I believe he's probably in the womb of some woman today, if he's not already born, because I believe the evidences of the days in which we live are clearly pointing that this is the final century. You cover all these different things, you know, the book that I've co-authored, and you've written in there as well. We cover all these different angles of what to watch for in this century, which I actually believe is the final century. And the evidences I point out in my chapter, I talked about some of the biblical ones with the wars coming. We also have that when the Antichrist comes on the scene in Revelation 13, verses 16, he says that the false prophet and they implement this cashless society where no one, rich man, poor, free, man, woman, child, will be able to buy or sell unless they take a mark in their right hand or their forehead. Now, many of us believe that's the technology that the Apostle John was trying to explain 2,000 years ago without having computer chips and computer technologies in his vernacular and in his technologies of that time. We believe he was trying to describe a technology that exists today. That's in the Revelation 13. That's sort of the latter part of the book of Revelation, and most people believe that system will be in place in the middle of the tribulation. If that system exists today, that's just one more evidence. There's another evidence that I point out in the chapter in Revelation 11. There'll be these two witnesses that are preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, and the Antichrist, he kills them, and they lie dead in the streets for 3.5 days. The whole world, it says, will see them. Well, a century ago, people used to use that prophecy and say, see, the Bible can't be true. There's no way the whole world can see two dead guys in the streets of Jerusalem. Well, today they can. They'll be on every channel. They'll be on Fox. They may not be on MSNBC because they don't like to cover some of that stuff, but they do. You know, they'll be on TV channels. The whole world will be able to see them. So my concern is that we have been thrust into the final century. There are probably, if you took your normal Pew Bible, 1,000 pages in that Bible, you've got about 100 of those pages of end times Bible prophecy that has not found final fulfillment. And I believe that roughly that 100 pages including things like we're talking about here and the emergence of the Antichrist and the trumpet and the seal and the trumpet and the bold judgments of Revelation where billions of humanity are destroyed and so on and so forth. I believe that those types of things are going to find their final fulfillment in, if not our generation, our children's generation, or our grandchildren's generation, Tom, because the evidences are here.
We had advertised this show as also including some kind of a unique connection to UFOs. Now this seems like, to me, that it's pretty hard, or it might seem to most people, it's pretty hard to kind of make the gap between what we've been talking about so far and ufology, and yet, as I follow your program and some of these other programs, Lynn Marzulli, some of these other people, they're making a direct connection between UFOs, UFO activity, UFO sightings, and what we're talking right now about the coming of the Antichrist. How do you make this connection between these two? Help us with that.
Well, and again, this is a little less my area of expertise because you're taking me out of the Middle East now. You're putting me in the whole world here now with this. But and I always often refer people to yourself and to Marzulli.
Well, and yet there's a great deal of this activity now that's almost unprecedented that's also being cited inside the Holy Land.
Absolutely. And I believe that, I always tie this into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And you and I had this conversation a while back when you interviewed me on the Roswell radio program. And we talked about this. The Antichrist is going to come in and he's going to rise to power on all signs and lying wonders. It talks about that, you know, that the humanity, because they did not believe the truth, God turns them over to strong delusion to believe in what's called the lie in those chapter in those verses. Now, you know, when you break that Hebrew word down, that word study down, you're dealing with three primary words called pempo, plani, and energeia. And, you know, basically pempo can mean to dispatch in an orderly motion, plani is a deceitful wandering, and energeia is an operative power. And to me, Tom, it sounds like this could have UFO written all over it. See, what I think is very important is that this ufology is more than now just a mystery or a fascination. It's becoming undeniable. And we know from the Bible there are extraterrestrial beings. They call them angels. There's different ranks of angels. There's demons and so on and so forth. And I believe that what the humanity is going to be overtaken by, there's a whole other thing that I mentioned on Jim Tetlow's book with the Mary apparitions and who really is, what is it really, the harlot system of Revelation 17, and unfortunately we don't have time to talk about that, but I believe ultimately in the end that these signs and lying wonders could very much have to do with the reality of these angelic beings and this whole campaign manifesting itself, overwhelming humanity. The old garden lie that says you can be like God, when Satan told that to Adam and Eve, I've heard of some people speculating that really what the Antichrist might actually be doing with his angelic cohorts through this UFO campaign, actually showing them through New Age and meditative techniques how they can actually not only be like God, they can be God, and have this razzle-dazzle going on with these UFO guys, these angelic beings behind the scenes, you know, making it look like, you know, these people are becoming like God. Now, that's a new theory you may not even heard yet, but that's one I've recently covered upon, too. But I believe this plays in, and I believe this plays in the very end event, and I believe that the Antichrist rises in on that theme. And I think it's a very real phenomenon. People ought to be paying attention to it.
So this is like a part of great deception.
I believe so.
And so how's that going to play out? A bunch of UFOs appear in the sky. What happens? We're all terrified. We all feel like there's suddenly some apparition of power that's beyond our understanding, and some authorities, the President of the United States, the Pope, they all walk out into the well of the United Nations and they say, guess what, folks? We've just been invaded by powers from other sources. Is that what you're talking about? And so And these sources have only selected one ambassador on earth, and here's their man, and he's the Antichrist, or is it something entirely different? In your mind, there are these apparitions. It's undeniable. I mean, it is happening around the world. Then you begin to interpret, okay, but what is it, and what does it mean? And if it's going to be some part of great deception, in the mind of Bill Salas, how does that play into, how does that scenario unfold in the introducing of the Antichrist?
Well, it's an area that I honestly have not thought through as deeply as you have, but I would tell you this. I don't see it as a Star Wars type scenario. I do like the concept of them suggesting that there is only one ambassador, that he is, that the Antichrist is their man, and that they help him rise to power, and he is empowered by Satan, and he's fueled to do Satan's deeds on the earth. We're told in Revelation 12 that there's a war in heaven, and most of us believe this is in the middle of the tribulation between Michael the archangel and Satan and his cohorts, and Michael wins, and they're cast down to earth once and for all. But the we're already New Age channelers that are talking about messages coming from these extraterrestrials, and they're messages that answer a lot of questions the world's going to have when they show up on the scene, that they were our creators. If the rapture of the church occurs, they've already got answers for that. Well, we had to eliminate the Christians because of their traditional mindsets. They weren't ready to usher in the fifth dimension thinking. This is not the area of my expertise, but I don't see it as being a Star Wars thing. I see it as being just an overwhelming scenario. There could be huge crafts sitting over cities. Just recently saw a movie called District 9, not that I'm suggesting this is biblical or anything like that, but they had this huge spacecraft sitting over, I think it was a South African Johannesburg or something city. I thought, what if that happened? What if they had that kind of technology and they just hovered that thing over? What would humanity do? And then all of a sudden they come along and say, look, don't worry, we got this guy here. He's the one that's making peace in the world here. He's stabilizing everything. Just buy onto his program, worship him. He's, I don't know. Again, we're talking a little about speculation and stuff, but I can find some biblical references that make me feel concerned.
Biblical references. What do you make about the Vatican in the last few years? Their own highly regarded astronomers, people within the Vatican, spokesmen for the Vatican, also being published by Vatican-owned publishing houses, saying that these extraterrestrials, well, first of all, saying two things. Number one, that the chances now are greater than not, that we are going to be visited by extraterrestrial intelligence, or we're going to make contact with extraterrestrial intelligence in the not-too-distant future. And secondly, that these should be regarded as our space brothers. Any comments?
Well, no, but I've been sort of watching some of these rumblings coming out of the Vatican, which, by the way, also there's a fervor going on with the Mary apparitions, too, and that whole scenario. And I think you've got the people need to be watching those surfacing and the effect that could have on bringing world religions into perhaps one universal religion. A lot of people believe that the harlot of Revelation 17 is many roads lead to God, and she just embraces that. And some people are now teaching that it becomes a universal religion that is captivated by this harlot system, fueled by Mary apparitions in the Eucharistic Christ.
Roger, you're connecting this to maybe the Fatima?
Yeah, absolutely. Fatima and Zaytun, the visions, the apparitions that happen there, and then these apparitions are going all over. Remember, millions of people make pilgrimages to these holy places where Mary apparitions occurred. But I believe that occurs, but ultimately I believe that is even overwhelmed by the UFO campaign that comes forward at that point.